All right, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just come before you right now and come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you just quicken, Lord, your word to our heart and our mind so that we may be able to receive it, Lord. Let your anointing, Lord, in it, your power in it, Lord, minister to us your truth so that we can appropriate it and make it real, Lord, in our life. Manifest it, Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory in advance for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. We've been talking last week about realizing that God's love for us is unconditional. Without that understanding, it's very difficult to really receive what he has done for us, because there's been so much emphasis on all the negative things that we do that, you know, we get to the place in which you think, you know, never get anywhere. When instead God is always there, even when we miss it. Even when we are disobedient, even when we sin, he still loves us the same way as he loved us before we were born again. But his expectation is that we start growing up. Okay, and this seems to me pretty logical. You know, you can't just be born and just remain a baby. We need to grow. We need to connect with him. We need to allow him to make transformation taking place inside us. Today, we are going to talk about how God deals with us just in the way that we are going to be able to get closer to him. I can cover that topic completely in one day, and we're going to finish after Christmas. But, you know, the important thing to realize, and this is actually fits with Christmas, okay, that Jesus, okay, preached, when he preached, okay, the good news. Okay, the good news is essentially, you know, is another way of saying unconditional love. Okay, the good news is the fact that God loves everybody. And in this period of time, in this, you know, period in which the new covenant has been established, okay, this is the major aspect of his relationship with us. Because he enabled us to have a relationship with him and to everyone that comes to him in a way that is much greater than even the greater people in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus said. And so we had to adjust our mind to think in those terms, because it is difficult for us to understand that we can be accepted by God no matter what and loved no matter what, because in the world, that's not our experience. This is not what we are going to, you know, discover or experience in the relationship we have with others. But God is not others. God is God. And he's better than anybody else. So we can expect him to be different. And we have to start to see him as he is and not as we see other people. Okay. Just, you know, even just the first scripture that everybody knows, okay, should be enough to show us that. You know, that God so loved the world. He didn't say so loved the people that are born again. And if you love the world, he loves the people who are born again too. So it doesn't change the story, or it doesn't change the type of relationship. Doesn't, you know, his love does not diminish if we are born again and miss it someplace. The point is, we miss it all the time, if we acknowledge it or not. And if we don't acknowledge the problem, you know, is because we judge ourselves in the wrong way. Judge ourselves, comparing ourselves with others that are worse than we are. That's not a way to get anywhere, and this is not the way God says that we should operate. What if we should compare with him? And when we compare ourselves with him, we are not even a ballpark figure close to it. We are very far off from what and who he is. And so just, you know, we can get to him, okay, just because he allows us, because he loves us, because he cares for us. This is why, you know, he has allowed them forever, believes in him, and this is the basis. You know, believe in him will not perish. Okay? Jesus was not sent because of, you know, condemn us. He was sent to take our sin on himself. And that shows the, really the love that he has for us. Okay? Praise the Lord. And he did it from the very beginning. Just promise that. Just soon after that, okay, there was the fall of Adam, okay, that we need a Savior. And this is the key thing for us to be connected to God. Recognizing, acknowledging that we need, that we cannot do it by ourselves. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They thought that they did everything that needed to be done. They didn't need a Savior. So that's really what blocks God's power and God's anointing to work in our life. When we think we have it all, and we don't need His mercy and His goodness. See, Jesus, you know, that was announced, that explained, that demonstrated that. But you know, even when he was born, okay, the angels, you know, appeared to the shepherd, okay, and a multitude of angels, heavenly host, appeared to them, okay, praising God and saying, you know, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. See, the goodwill means, you know, that God really wants to the best for us. Okay? This is the thing we had to accept, believe, and use as now our, the basis of our relationship. If we go to any other basis, we are not going to even get close to God. Okay? Evidently, he's talking about peace. It was, you know, relative peace, but really, the world is not in peace. It's not in peace now and also. The world is always a mess because men are running it. It's not God. Now, okay, the thing is, you know, he said, glory to God in the air. The glory of God is something that it wasn't completely visible to most of the people when Jesus was born, was it? Just a few shepherds got it. And the thing wasn't, from a physical point of view, not that glorious. You know, he was a baby born in a stable. I mean, there is nothing glorious about that in the physical. But we had to learn to see God's glory with a different type of eyes. See, why the shepherd could see it and the other couldn't? Because they weren't caught up with the physical thing. They were, you know, shepherd do nothing, just there, you know, waiting there under the sky, looking at the star, and seeing the universe in front of their eyes and wondering about this thing. Instead of being caught up by the business of a business life, they are just going along with it. And that's enabled them to see beyond what you can see with your physical eyes. Because God's glory is, one way it is represented, is in his creation. But if we don't believe that he is the one that created it, the one is the one that did everything, the one who created everything, the one that keeps everything together, by what? By his power, by his glory, by his abilities, by everything that, you know, he created everything. So if we can look at anything, even this piece of wood, you know, it represents God's glory. We represent God's glory. We are wonderfully made. And we have to start seeing, you know, but if you don't believe that there is a God that actually planned, organized, did, and keep these things going on, you're going to see only the physical and you don't see his glory. When instead he's right in front of your eyes, is the result of what he did. And we messed it up badly. But he's still glorious and he's still held together by him. Are you following me? See, we had to start opening our spiritual eyes to be able to see God's glory. Otherwise, we are not going to be able to see it. We are going to be caught up by the physical things that our senses receive instead of actually be open to our spiritual senses, in which are based on the realization that there is a God that created everything and everything is held together by him. See, unless we take that step, unless we start from the right place, we are going just to see things. And you can change that, what you see. The only thing you can do generally, because you don't know what you are doing, is mess it up. Are you still with me? See, that instead when we start seeing his work and we see the things that the whole thing was created, but you know, First Romans talks about that everybody, even if they didn't hear the gospel, they are aware of God's glory. They can be aware within themselves if they are not so caught up in the physical things, even if they didn't hear the gospel preached to them. Praise the Lord. But see, God wants us to perceive the spiritual dimension that is beyond the physical dimension that we see with our eyes and, you know, with our senses. And he wants to have a relationship with us that is based on what we see there. Because he's a spirit. And as a spirit, we have to connect with him in spirit and in truth. And unless we take that step of faith to believe in a reality that we don't see, that is the origin of all the physical things that we have around, and that is the mother of all the things that are around here, it comes from him and where he's ruling. Psalm 103. You know, God made his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. We have to understand what that means, and that can be pretty confusing. And if you see the world there today, say, you know, no, it doesn't look like it. But that's just the look, the exterior look. If you can really see what happens and spiritually, you can see that there is much more that your eyes can see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have to open up ourselves. If we want to have a relationship with God, we had to start seeing beyond the physical. Because we had to start seeing beyond how even our physical needs. Because he's bigger than us. The thing is, that may have such an impact that may change even them, the physical needs you have. If we see Jesus' ministry, okay, Jesus' ministry, okay, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, preached the gospel of the kingdom. How did he do that? You know, he said, you know, Matthew 4:23 says there, you know, and Jesus went about in Galilee teaching and in their synagogues. Okay, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And not just preaching it, he was demonstrating the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and disease among the people. You see, he was not just dealing with the physical thing, he was doing things that cannot be done physically. The healing that he was demonstrated, the healing that he did were supernatural events taking place that could not be justified or explained. Can you bring me? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Oh. Right. I thought. All right, good. Anyway. All right. Okay. So let me go back here. Where was I? Okay, the gospel of the kingdom. He just demonstrated that. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom is not enough. Even today. Because preaching is just words. And if we don't demonstrate it, then there is no invalidation on what we are saying or doing. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is why he, when he left, he charged his disciple. For example, for Mark chapter 16, 15 and following, you know, and when he said to them, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the good news. It's not the bad news. The gospel is concentrated and focused on the things that are positive that we can expect from God. We have to understand that if we preach the good news, that should be the focus that he gave us. Teaching the kingdom of God, are good things that are happening there, not bad things. Jesus said, you know, let the things, you know, heavenly, you know, things in heaven be on earth. And that's our part to bring about. That's what he wants to do. Okay. But doesn't stop there. Okay. He, you know, he wants us, you know, to operate the same way as he operated. Following verse, okay, we preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized, okay, means immersed, shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. See, we had to immerse people in the kingdom. We had to get them to the place in which they start living in the kingdom rather than living down only on this earth. Because if we don't live in the kingdom, if we don't live in the spiritual dimension already, we cannot have a relationship with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, we cannot have a relationship with a spirit physically. The only way we can connect with him is with our spirit. And we have to get everything else in us to be submitted to that aspect of our being. We are not quite there yet. So we have to understand the way God works to bring us to that place. Because that's what he wants. And so you see, and you know, that is demonstration of the kingdom that we had to do again as we, as Jesus, you know, did. So he says, you know, show the reality of a spiritual dimension, okay, that is more than the physical, that is superseding the physical. Okay. And this sign continues, just follow those who believe. In my name you shall cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and in, if they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, those are all signs. Okay, what are signs? Okay, are really the physical manifestation of a spiritual reality that we cannot see, but is indicated and demonstrated by what happens in the physical. And those are the things that said should be evident. They should be manifested by those who believe. That's the indication. That's the evidence of being a believer. That's what Jesus said. It's not that the signs are finished. And those that said that the signs are finished, they're only partially believers, because they do not recognize a reality that is, we are connected, that we are not dealing with this world only, but we are dealing with the spiritual world around, the way God, where God is and where God operates. Praise the Lord. And so after the Lord has spoken, he was received into heaven. And that, you know, he went there as well. Another manifestation, another sign, if you want. And sat at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through this accompanying sign. Amen. So be it. So you see, that's really what happens. He just didn't preach about it. He told him, you go and do it. They went and did it. Now, with time, things have changed, but really nothing has changed today. Today, there is the same God. Today, there is the same expectation. Today, there is the same scripture operating. Today is, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can't say, well, again, you know, we're going to operate differently now. That is what really the expectation, what the commandment, what the instruction of Jesus was for us is the same as the first disciples were there. It wasn't that they were special. No, they were just disciples, and we are disciples. And the Lord, working with them, and confirming the word through accompanying sign. That's what we should experience today. Now, to do that, we must be able to be connected with him, because those signs are not coming out of our own ability, our own strength. It's his ability and his power that is manifested. See, he delegated his authority, you know, the kingdom authority down here to demonstrate what the kingdom of God is like, how God created things. Okay. Praise the Lord. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news that he came to give us. We are not going back. This is going to continue the same. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and for the also for the Greek, for anybody, Greek, whatever. The Jews were exposed before, but only one third of them accepted him. if the statistics they're brought back are accurate. But doesn't matter. It wasn't really accepted by everybody. Okay, so the idea is for everybody. This is for everybody, for all the nations. That was the promise to Abraham too. Praise the Lord. So, and he says, but the basis of that, the basis for that manifestation, for basis of the power of God unto salvation, is coming from the following verse. It says, for it is in it, this salvation that God has promised. Okay? In it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this is really, okay, the key to actually operate in that dimension, which was faith looks at things that are not as though they were. Look at things that we cannot see. We don't go by sight, but we go by faith. And faith comes only one way. Faith comes by hearing, by the word of God, hearing the word of God. So it's not, you know, anything that we hear that is not the word of God, that is not contained into what God said to show us the spiritual dimension, is not going to be faith, it's just our beliefs. And what is not in agreement with what God says and what God revealed to us is just unbelief instead of faith. It's the opposite of faith. And it's based on what? It's based on what we see down here, and it's not what is true up there. Before we can actually get closer to God, we have to get a foundation in which we start understanding how to operate. And our salvation is really the basis for us, the starting point. If we do not fully understand that our salvation is a spiritual event, and it's not just one event, it's an ongoing process that takes place, in which we come into this reality of the kingdom of God. It's not just a question of cleaning up ourselves. It's not just a question of, knowing more of the Bible. It's start to live in that kingdom of God where God rules, where God is the master, the king. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we need to come to the place in which recognize, if we are saved, what we have, what God has done to us, to you. Because if we do not recognize, if we just look at the physical, see, you, when you are born again, you look the same, and you mostly thought the same thing you thought before. Maybe with just a little change. And that is a very little manifestation of the kingdom of God. I mean, in the physical. But in the spiritual, it's a completely different story. In the spiritual dimension, probably the biggest thing that can ever have happened has happened already. Let's read some scripture here. Romans chapter, where am I? 1, verse 17. For in it, this is coming for the previous verse, you know, before I said, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Okay, then goes here, verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and as is written, the just shall live by faith. See, faith is the key. And faith is the only way that you are going to get it, if by listening to the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to affect believing the Word of God. Okay. And what that produces is the greatest miracle that has ever happened, ever will happen. You were a dead spirit. You are going around in a living body, but with a dead spirit, not connected with God. And what happens then is that your spirit is born again, becomes connected with God. You become alive. You can see much difference sometime at the beginning, especially when this happens. But that new life inside you is the life of God. It's not your life anymore. Okay. Romans 8:11 said it clearly there. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Through his spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of God is dwelling in you now, if you are born again. And he's there not just because we say it, not just because, somebody said it. It's because a miracle took place. And God came inside you to dwell in there. And he's there to quicken you, to empower you, to, quicken your mortal body, to have an effect not just in your spirit, but in your body, because God created you with a body and a soul. And those two areas need to be updated, renewed, changed, to manifest what? The kingdom. To manifest the Spirit of God inside you. This is what his desire is. And unless we come to the realization that God is inside you, just because you miss it or you sin sometime in little, big or little things, doesn't mean it goes away right away. I cannot explain that today. But actually the scriptures shows very clearly the process take place when that happens. It takes a long time to break through. God's still inside you, trying to guide you. And, but you may lose a bit of the connection when you do the wrong things. Especially if you don't understand the reality of God's love, unconditional love with you. Because he is there to quicken your mortal body. Okay, that means your physical being, and also change your mind, change your soul, change your feeling, change your heart. Praise the Lord. You know, the Spirit of God is inside you. That should get you excited. Are you excited? I can see it for your face. I mean, that should be really turning us on, with a hope of what he's there for the expectation, that's the best, lively expectation, is an excitement. Do you have any hope today? I mean, we should have hope. The world doesn't have any hope. Because the only thing they got is a dead spirit. But we have God's life inside you. And what that means is that there is a hope for something happening that is going to make heavenly things happen down here. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. See, this is what we have to understand. Okay, that is inside us, inside you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you imagine the power that was required for bringing back Jesus alive after all the sins of the world came on him? Past, present, future, all the sins came on him. All of them. All together. The worst ones and the little one doesn't make any difference. All of them. I mean, must have been more than terrible. And he dealt with it in one shot. God brought him back and broke the power of all that would happen. Doesn't matter, you know, all the demonic things in the world forever were dealt with, and Jesus came out in triumph, showing them, you know, bringing them, you know, in a procession like they did when an army was winning, you know, another one, and will take the slave back, and he showed them up, the word says, with their armor taken off, their power taken off, their ability taken off. They are all defeated. But we had to remember that. We had to realize that. We had to appropriate that. Now, because this is what Jesus did, even when he was on earth, and he told us to do. Those things, the signs that he was talking about, you know, were the sign that are indication that these things have been defeated and broken. But if we are going to believe that, okay, then we have to, and we really believe it, this is going to be manifested in our behavior, in our action, in the way we do, the way we think also. Praise the Lord. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, repeats, this is not the idea that comes just in one place in the Bible. It's all over the scriptures. In some part it's clearer than other part. Like in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and following says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Can you see exceeding greatness? Boy, that's not great at all. That's really weak. Can you say exceeding greatness? All right, that's a bit better. I mean, you know, unless we participate in what, unless we incorporate in us the thoughts and the feelings and the ideas of the scriptures, they're not going to be manifested. They're not going to be any sign. Then he says, you know, nothing happened. Absolutely. Who is fault? God? Is God trying to hold it up? Or it's us that we don't make an effort and start agreeing with him and start manifesting it? Hello? You see, it starts from the attitude that we have. If it's a passive, losing attitude, we are not going to have any victory. Because we are not embracing the scriptures. If the scripture says it, an exceeding greatness of his power toward us and believe, and we do nothing, nothing happened. Now let me continue here, because it here explains some of the things here. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right and in heavenly places. I mean, just not just resurrected, but everything that went on after. All that power was working in Jesus and is operating in us. I mean, that should give us a glory fit. That should make us jump around that the building and getting excited. Hello? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. That's the thing. Amen. I mean, that means so be it. But if you are not doing it, it's not going to be manifested. So we have a part we play in receiving the gospel, the good news. It's good news. It's not the news you get in TV or other places. That's bad news, or fake news, or useless news. We want the good news. All right? So, praise the Lord. See, that power that raised Jesus from the dead and brought him up in the heaven is available to us today. Okay? And it's inside you. Because that is the life of God inside you. And what God wants you to manifest it. He doesn't want you to think about it philosophically. He wants it to experience it and manifest it physically. Because that is the sign that he wants us to do so that others can see. And benefit, you benefit too. Anyway, okay. See, but the fact that thing inside you that for most people is just dormant there or doing very little. God wants us to become manifested. And the only way for that to become manifested is for you to manifest it. I mean, God chose to use you to manifest it. But if you are passive, you have a passive manifestation, which means nothing. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me continue because I don't have it here, but it doesn't matter. Okay. He raised them up, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and any name that is named in this age and the one to come. So don't tell me, these demons have much power. No, this is greater than all these other things. Those are nothing compared to him. Compare it to what you have inside. It doesn't stop there. Okay, and give all things under, put all things under his feet. Under his feet. You'd set them upon the scorpions and serpent, and no way shall hurt you. It doesn't stop there. And he has made him, to be the head over all things to the church. Who is his body? And now it comes here. The fullness of him. Who fills everything in all. Hallelujah. You see, he's filling us to do the job. We are his body. Praise the Lord. What I had to do here? Put some gasoline and put you on fire or what? Hallelujah. Are you following that saying? Okay. See, this is why we have to understand, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says there, he made him who no sin to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. We are going to have to demonstrate God's righteousness, God's abilities, God's power, because our life is going to be manifesting his life. And he's above everything, all principalities, power, might, dominion, and everything that is named in this age and the one to come. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, but we have to come into the realization, the understanding the accepting what the scriptures say. Not just listen, say, okay. No, we have to start asking revelation to the Holy Spirit, what they actually mean in practical terms, in actually in what the way they are going to be implemented in us, the way they are going to be producing signs, because that's what you have to do. If you do more signs than words, then you are going to be effective. Because we talk too much and we get too much done, at least too little done. That has to be changed if you want to be effective. Now, you know, we have to understand what happened when you were born again. What happened when you became in Christ. You know, and really, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it all. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. I mean, you are not the same anymore. You can feel the same, you can think the same, but you are not the same. Why? Because the life of Christ, life of God is inside you. Eternal life is inside you. That life makes all the difference, but you had to let it come true. You had to let it work. You had to let it manifest in you. Okay. It says, you know, all things that passed away, all things, behold, all things that become new. That is true in your spirit, not in your body and in your mind. Okay. All things are of God. So that's what you have to start believing. That's the thing that has to start motivating you. And you have to then know there, you know, if you look, how you can believe that? You believe that by looking at yourself, looking at the mirror, looking at your actions, looking at the way you do day by day, look at the way you feel about things. That is not going to work. You have to look at the Word. You look at the Word, the way they say, it's like you look at the mirror. You see what? You don't see yourself, your face, your body, your thing, you know, your eyes. You see what you are looking inside. You see the way you are in your spirit. It will portray there so that you know what you look like and you are not fooled by the things that are apparent. See, God doesn't judge things according to the physical appearance. He looks according to the heart, and the heart is really, is even more here. You know, He sees you the way He made you and to the degree that you have accepted it. The way you have lined up yourself with Him. And this is why, you know, that is going to make all things out of God, you know, and reconcile Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. You see, it really actually means is that we are reconnected with God. God is operating inside you, working in your spirit, and your spirit is in union with His Spirit. That's what Jesus' prayer was all about. That's the reality that we had to come in contact with and stop thinking about ourselves as just sinners saved by grace. We are not sinners. We sin because we are too stupid yet not to be able to know what to do. We need to smarten up and read the Word, and see the Word, and stick, and don't remember, and don't forget about what we saw in the Scripture, and believe it, and start acting like it, in faith. Because it's by faith that we achieve those things. It's by faith that we are saved, not trying to be good, but trying to implement what God did with us. So that it's not we are doing works to get prizes from God. Is God, we believe God, and because we believe God, we do the things that is, you know, that we naturally do but his power, by what he is saying. We are saved by grace, not by works. The works are nothing else than the results of his workmanship. We are created by him. We are not made by ourselves. We are not growing by doing things so that God likes us more. Our work doesn't get us closer to God. If you use them wrongly, get you away from God, just like the Pharisees. They did lots of works. And they rejected Jesus. Because they were based themselves on the works instead of faith in what they believed was going to come. But their eyes were so blind that they couldn't even see what is in front of their eyes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have to learn not to do that. We have to learn to connect with God, to see what the Word says, and start believing it, and start not forgetting it. Has to be real in us. That's why, you know, the only way to do that is by meditation, so that it becomes part of your thinking. You just digest it all the time, chew it, like cows do, until it becomes so integrated with your system, so it becomes assimilated by your way of thinking. Hallelujah. This is why as many as receive him, he gave him the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name, that he was the Messiah. The idea is simple. You know, he gave it the right. But, you know, they are children of God, but they're just baby children. You know, in the spirit, they had to. There is a work of salvation that is just beginning. You know, people think, oh, I'm saved, I'm okay now. You're not okay now. You are just the beginning. It's like you are in kindergarten. Even before, you need to still suck the milk, because that's the only thing you can do. You need to grow. You need to allow him. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, let me continue here. Okay. In John 17, verse 2, says, as you have given him authority, Jesus' authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as he has given him, when it comes to him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the Father, and you, the true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. You see, when we understand, know, and this my know is just mental knowledge, this is experiential gnosko, okay, knowing him and Jesus and what he has done for us, that put into the place, we should put into the place to make that connection with God in which they're going to start manifesting these things. Are you following me? This is so important. Praise the Lord. Okay, we need to manifest the eternal life that is inside ourselves. When we manifest eternal life, we are not going to be limited anymore by the physical reality. Because eternal life supersedes, creates physical reality. And so we have to start actually doing exactly that. We have to create our reality. And not be limited by our circumstances, our where we are, our situation, anything in this world, and start manifesting more and more. But that's not going to be naturally to do, because, you know, our physical part needs to be retrained, need to be organized, need to be taught how to do that. See, we have been conformed by the world we are in. What we have to be there is transformed, metamorphosis. You know, the metamorphosis is not something that evolves. See, it just changes shape completely. Change the shape, not the metamorphosis. You know, change of shape. So, you know, it's the cocoon becomes a butterfly. That's the metamorphosis. It's a completely new being coming out that doesn't go moving around or just being, you know, in a cocoon, but just start flying in the heaven. That's where God wants us to do. That's what we have to learn to do. That's what, and this is really explained very clearly in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, you know, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. I mean, you have to give your body up. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, with a reasonable service. See, that is exactly what makes sense for you to do. Because that's going to be keeping bound. Bound by your circumstances, bound by your physical things. And be not conformed with this world. Don't try to be like everybody else, but be transformed. And that is the word is metamorphosize. Metamorphosis. By renewing your mind. See, starts with your mind. You have to be exposed to your mind. Okay? To prove what is good and acceptable, a perfect will of God. This is will the will of God for you. That you are no longer limited by your physical being. But you allow yourself to be transformed, to be metamorphosized into a spiritual being. The way Jesus was. He was ruled by his spirit, not by his body. He was above the physical law, because he was operating according to spiritual laws. And the Bible gives us all the information that we need to do that, because that's the way he did. Actually, he didn't have all the New Testament. But he was the Word made flesh. And so even from the Old Testament, that actually says the same thing, but not as clearly as the New Testament, because he came to explain to us the thing we need to understand. And that understanding should be enough for us to grow and develop and prepare ourselves for the full manifestation of this change that is going to come up and his next coming. Which is coming soon. We don't have much time to prepare. We better start looking at the right thing and focusing our attention on what the Word says about us, instead of looking at ourselves and disqualifying ourselves in our thought. Because we are not qualified for what we do. We are qualified by faith, qualified by believing what the Word says and start appropriating and start believing and start acting on it. Praise the Lord. You know, it doesn't start with faith. It starts with hope. If you don't hope, you're never going to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have hope, you don't have any basis to have faith. You can give any substance to them. But when you have hope, you can start giving substance to them by believing and standing on it and deciding to believe it and start implementing it in yourself. Are you following me? See, it's no use. See, God wants to go has to get closer to us, not just to be, you know, coming together on Sunday morning to have a worship meeting, and a worship meeting is going to be glorious. He wants us to worship him, to connect with him, to start manifesting his glory in our life, day by day, moment by moment. The way Jesus did. Praise the Lord. We are transformed into His image. Okay. And this is nothing else, okay, than God's promise for us. It was promised before in the Old Testament, you know, it's repeated in Hebrews chapter 8, you know, the fact that I will put my laws in their mind, you know, in their and write in their heart, you know, and they will be, you know, their God, and they shall be my people. See, this is the things that is God wanted to happen. But to happen, you know, is not going to happen by itself. It happens by our faith, implementing it in our life. As we go to the Word and we use the Word to change the way we see things, start seeing the, what in the spiritual dimension, what is in the kingdom of God, the way it functions, the way God sees us, and we start appropriating that. That's the only work that we have to do. All the other stuff is the result of that having taken place. If we don't get that, we have nothing to give. Often we try to give more than what we have. And the only thing we give is flesh. It's doctrines. In other things, it doesn't save anybody. Jesus said, you know, my word, they are life. They are spirit and they are life. That's what we have to give. It's life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And when all works about, you know, I'm thinking a scripture here from Hebrews chapter 11, you know, verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deed I will remember no more. You see, the thing is, you see, is God is merciful. That's why he's operating unconditional love. See, God is merciful and operate with us according to mercy, not according to justice. We don't want justice. If it's going to be justice, we can close the book. Okay. It's because he is merciful to us. Just read Psalm 103. It's everything about the mercy of God. And he's merciful to us, operate and doesn't, you know, deal with us according to our sins, not punish us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord. But not only that, he says, you know, and I will, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. And this is not just the fact that, you know, the things that you did before you were saved. I'm talking about all the things that you keep doing today that are lawless. And you may not realize it or not. And the more your eyes are open, and the more you are going to see the more of them, and you are going to have some changing, so repenting to do. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. See, God's gift is there to bring us to a place in which we can overcome. Are you following what I'm saying? It's no use to try to get close to God if we haven't resolved this and have settled on those points. We're going to see after that how we get away and how to stay close. And how to get closer. Because we have to understand, but the point is, if we don't have this, we have no basis to get anywhere. I wanted to move on ahead, but the Lord didn't let me do as he told me today. I had to work on this, because unless this is resolved, accepted, and settled, then we are not going to make any progress. We are going to build on a foundation that is crumbling. We have to have a solid foundation in which we have the basis in which we can stand, and we can correct ourselves when we move in a different direction, to know that the life of God is inside us no matter what. And God is loving you and empowering you, and he's not when we don't get things from him, it's not because he doesn't give them to us. It's because we don't receive them. We come short of accepting them. Sometimes it's difficult to accept that. Amen? So let's pray. Praise the Lord. You know, if you need more revelation, more things, more ministry in that area, I can pray with you personally later now, but I'm going to pray in general. That we all of us may open up to the Spirit of God, to realize what we have inside, and not to limit ourselves because of our own experiences and limitations. We have to look at what the Word says that we have inside and allow that reality to be what we believe. Allow the power of God, the life of God, to take over our thinking. Not to limit God, the Holy One of Israel, because of our shortcomings and our blindness. To open our eyes with His Word, quickening us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead should be able to break loose in our life, to bring us to a place in which we start walking by faith. Because we walk by faith, not by physical sight. When we walk by faith, we see things. But it's spiritual sight, not physical sight. And the spiritual sight is in the Word. The Word tells us exactly what we see and what we should see and what we should not see and reject, because it's not from God. It's from us. It's from the fallen man. No matter how religious it looks or it sounds. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you have done, because we cannot do it in ourselves, but in you, Lord, we can do all things. And we praise you and thank you today as we open our heart to receive the things that you have done, as we allow you to transform us instead of allowing ourselves to be conformed by the world. And we start praising and thanking you for the work that is done, that you did, and the things that we had to do to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.